St. Luke.
And also to the book of St. Matthew's. Start reading at St. Matthew's first, St. Matthew's chapter 6. And I want to start reading at verse 25. Thank God for your presence here today. Thank God for all of our visitors. I know we got a little segment where we address our visitors, but I felt led to kind of move expeditiously into the word because there is something that the Lord wants to speak to the hearts of his people. Brother Richardson, if you would, turn everything off but me. All of these other mics, turn them off. St. Matthew chapter 6 and at verse, starting at verse number 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spend. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, surely not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the heathens, the folks outside of the ark of the covenant, the ark of God, seek. For yourselves, for your heavenly Father, knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I repeat, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow or morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for those things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you would, raise your right hand and repeat after me. Are you distracted? Amen. Are you distracted? Now, I got to say of a truth that on this morning, there were some of you that came in here and you were distracted. Your minds were in other areas where it should not have been. And you were thinking about things you had no business thinking about. Distracted. Imagine being in a building where the temperature is just below bearable. Would you be able to focus mentally and make intelligent, rational decisions? Or will you allow your flesh to divert or influence your manner of thinking and decision-making abilities to the negative? Just imagine. Some of us have some of the smallest things that come up and they distract us. And what is going to transpire when something magnanimous, something supernatural of the unnatural proportion hits us? Imagine being in a situation where your house is about to be taken in the middle of one of the coldest winters in history. Four children under age. The oldest one of the four, seven. About to lose everything you got. There's no one you can turn to. You're in a dilemma. Would you allow your emotions and concerns to pull you into a conflicting direction as it relates to your faith? There are children of God who allow their conditions to pull them into areas that conflict with their belief system because they get distracted. Imagine being given the opportunity of a lifetime. You've worked diligently for the past 10 years for a position that you've been looking for, and it's finally your turn. You finally got the opportunity to get the job that you've been working for the past 10 years. Your superiors have come to you and inform you, Miss Richardson, the job is yours. All we need you to do is tell us yes and sign the dotted line. They leave to give you a few moments to think about the situation. You start reading the fine print, and you see in the fine print that there's some stuff in there that conflicts with your values, your morals, your convictions. What you gonna do? Do you allow this very tragic thing to cause you to turn away from focusing on God? And some of us call it tragic because this is what I've been working for all my life. This is a tragedy, a travesty if I don't take this job. This is what I've been working for. I've been planning for this all my life. But you read the fine print and has stuff in there that you know is not becoming under holiness. You know it goes against your morals and your convictions. What are you going to do? Are you going to bow down for the moment and take the job? Say, I'll worry about that later. Or are you going to say, you know what? For God I live and for God I die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you distracted? Will you allow something as minute as it may? You know, and some of us have magnified things in positions that don't belong in. But something as minute as a job, something that's not going to last forever, to get in the way of eternity. Imagine this. You're in the prime of your life, 40 years old. You have a successful career, beautiful family, wonderful relationship with the Lord. You've been going to the doctor for the past 15 years for physical and blood work. This time you go something different. You walk into the doctor's office. 3 weeks later, they call you back. You go back in. Doc said, we found something that's kind of shocking. I want to talk to you about it. You have a rare disease that very seldom comes up. It's undiagnosable. It just comes up. And we're sorry to tell you that there's nothing we can do about this thing, and you're going to die. What are you going to do? Will you become distraught, anxious, crazed, insanely worried? Or will you rely upon what you've been confessing for the past 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years? Will you stand up and say, you know what? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Will you stand up and say, I will let nothing separate me from the love of God? And not an incurable disease, not an anxiety attack, nothing. Going to fool with my faith. Not Katrina, not Wilma. Rita. You know. None of them. I'm not. Are you distracted? Now, I want to say something. The reason why the Lord gave me this, the reason why the Lord gave this to me is because there are too many people distracted in the church. There's enough distracted folks in the world. We already know that. There are folks out in the world that are just completely distracted. They've gotten caught up in stuff that really does not matter. But there are far too many people in the church that are distracted. I was sitting at home last night. The Lord gave me this message. He said, I want you to go back and just take a look at a few things. Then he said, I want you to make a few examples. And so on yesterday when we were over, and you know, we normally do Christmas in November, but because of how the situation was with Katrina, kind of threw everything off. And so we did Christmas. We did pretty good, but it's not like what we normally do, but we did pretty good. And on yesterday, the only people that was here was Bro Wolf, Sis Richardson, Brother Floyd, myself, and Sis Burr. Anybody else? Now in the world, now I understand some of us are working, but some of us weren't doing nothing. Distracted. So concerned, so involved in our own little worlds that we, let me tell you something. Some of us are that close to being in a position where we're going to need somebody to wait on us for the rest of our lives. But we get so distracted, so caught up in our little world. Oh, it's just so important to sit down and eat some pancakes and eggs right now. Bacon right now. Oh, it's kind of raining out, you know. What if God allowed stuff to distract him? Where would we be at? There were people that was here on yesterday that are going through
that simply needs somebody to stand at the door with their arms open and say, hey, baby, how you doing? So glad to see you. Come on in, baby girl. Come on in, my brother. All they need was somebody to stand there with their hands. I talked to people on yesterday. One little girl, she was so distraught. She came in and couldn't get waited on immediately. And it's because of all the stuff that she'd been going through in the last 4 months. She was involved in the Katrina situation. She's not saved. And so she just distraught by it. And all this stuff has culminated. She can't do what she wants to do because of her job situation. She can't really bless her child like she wants to. And so here comes this situation that she finds out in aftermath, after the situation, concerning what we're doing. She's not on the list. We hadn't made provisions for her, but she came early hoping that if she got here early, she could get some things. So we simply told her, said, baby, you're not on the list. You got to wait just a little bit, but we're going to take care of you. Even if we have to do something else, we will take care of you. But because of what was going on in her life, she just couldn't understand that. She felt like, once again, I've been pushed to the back of the line. Now, we up helping other folks, but because there wasn't enough of us here, we couldn't really work like we should have worked with the people that were here. Thank God for the patience of some of the saints, of some of the people that came. But we couldn't really work like we wanted to work on yesterday. And here she is. If it had been enough of us here, I know we would have been able to just kind of glance and say, oh, something's wrong. Let me go over and just take a little peep and say, hey, baby, how you doing? Now, when we did get an opportunity to address the situation, she calmed down within herself. And she said, I'm just going. She said, you don't know. And I say, I can imagine. But hang on, and that baby's going to be all right. But just think about this. Think about this. We have gotten distracted in the church. We've gotten so concerned with taking care of me, myself, and I, that we really missed what God's saying. Now, Pastor, you're not. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Well, let's see what the word distracted means. The word distracted means to cause or turn away from a focus of attention. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You know, we sing these songs talking about he's only you take my breath away. Only you. We have come into this house, gathered in your name to worship. Have all these little songs we sing to God, and we make all of these nice little things, we little pedophores that we offer to God. When you're distracted, you're caused to turn away from your focus of attention. God is our focus of attention. When you're distracted, you're turned away from that. When you're distracted, you're diverted by other means other than something. Amen. And when it's concerning God, you're divided by something, diverted by something other than God. When you're distracted, you're diverted. When you're distracted, you're pulled into a conflict by your emotional direction. Not your spiritual direction, but your emotional. When you're distracted, you're pulled into a conflict by your emotions. Which way your emotion wants to go. Not necessarily which way God wants you to go. Which way your emotions want you to go. Conflict. Pull into a conflict by your emotions. Distracted. To be disturbed in a manner of speaking, having your attention diverted. When you're distracted, it can lead to being distraught, anxious, worried, crazed, or in some instances go insane. If you're not careful, distraction can cause you to lose your mind and have you not to even be thankful for what you do have. There are a whole lot of distracted people in the world. They don't realize that if you got your life and health, I said it when we first started off, you can be sitting on the ash heap. You still got hope, baby. Job said, if a tree be cut down, and nothing but the stump is sticking out there. He said, the scent of water, it'll burn again. All you got to do is just have life. And you got another chance for God to show himself wonderful, marvelous. Amen. But some of us get distracted. And we start talking about, and we've been delivered from all kinds of stuff. And we don't have the sense of mind to even just look back on where God brought us from. dying, stroke victims, cancer, bad accidents. And God brought you out all that stuff. You usually got the mouth. You got the unmitigated gall to stand up and open your mouth and talk about what you ain't got and what folks need to do for you and this and that and the other. The devil is a lie. You need to lay your hands on yourself and cast the devil out. You need to say, come out of here in the name of Jesus. Are you distracted? When you're distracted, you're diverted. You turn aside from the direction of a course that you ought to go into. Have you turned aside? Are you going in a direction completely contrary to the direction that God wants you to go in? He's saying go north and you go on south. He's saying go to Nineveh and you go into Tarshish. Are you distracted? All right, yeah, but Pastor, I ain't going to. All right, if you're not distracted, then. If you're not distracted, why are you running after stuff instead of God? If you're not distracted, tell me why you're running after stuff and not God. He is the one that created the stuff. If you run after him, he can give you stuff. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom. And all this, if you want a man, seek Jesus. If you want a woman, seek Jesus. If you want a house, seek Jesus. If you want folk to treat you right, seek Jesus. That's where it's all at. And we've gotten distracted, and because we've gotten distracted, we can't get the stuff that God's got for us. Why are you looking for men to give into your bosom? Just ask the Lord to let you be the man. I said that earlier. Let's ask the Lord, say, let me be the man. Let me be the one that's got the goods. Let me be the one that's got the money. Let me be the one that's got the stuff. And so when God looking for somebody to bless him, I'm the one that God can have to be the blessing. I just don't want him to open up the windows of heaven and pull me out of blessing that I won't have room enough to get. I want God to make me the person, amen, that when he said, tell men given to your bosom, I want to be the man that's given to the bosom. I want to be the one that's passing the stuff out. How much you need? A million? Come here. We're distracted. And so when you get distracted, you start asking for stuff you don't really need or you really don't want. You start asking for stuff that's not really designed for you. We have been designed to be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. But we want to be the lender. Instead of being the ones that God send people to, amen, we're the ones that that God sending people from. No, I don't want you to be like that. Don't go over there. I don't want you to act like that. Don't go around here. And instead of us being the ones that's going to inspire people that are down and out and you know, going through a season in their lives, amen, God don't want us around them because he understands how we are. Distracted. You'll hang out around folks that's not going to mean you no good, and then you get around the folks that mean you good, you got an attitude. Distracted. That's what's wrong, distracted. Uh-oh, I'm going to get to it. Just hang on just a second. I'm not going to be long. If you're not distracted, why is your vision for your department different from the vision of the house? You got folk distracted. You can go and check some departments out, and the department ain't running like the vision of the house ought to be run. It's running contrary to that. What you need the department for? The department is supposed to be subservient to the vision of the house. Folk get distracted. They start getting, I want to just run it my way. This one, I want it done my way. No, it ain't supposed to be done your way. It's supposed to be done the way the vision of the house is done. If you're not distracted while you're tripping, sitting around talking about what you don't have instead of remembering what God has done for you. They got a lot of folks tripping, flipped out. Over anxious, having anxiety attacks. And God has a history with you. But because you're distracted, you can't remember what God did for you just 2 weeks ago. You didn't have no money. Things looked bleak. And here comes somebody. Open the mailbox up there. A great big old fat check is. go out into the do some shopping, and one of your old friends you seen a while back said, the Lord put you on my heart. Get everything you want. I'm paying for it today. You pull up to McDonald's to get your food, or at your order, pull up to the window and pull your money out to pay for it, and somebody had already paid for your meal. You didn't forget. You got a history with God, but you didn't forget. Because you're distracted. You're worrying about what's happening right now. Look, don't you let the devil play them kind of games with you. Don't let him get in your mind to the point where he can distract you from trusting who God is and what he's capable of doing. He'll do that. Just when God get ready to bless, he'll come in with some mess and get you distracted, get you to acting crazy, get you to forgetting where God brought you from, get you to forgetting what he's doing in your life. And then all of a sudden, you can't get what God's got for you because you done got distracted. Anybody that got common sense ought to realize y'all not trying to bite the hand that's feeding you. If you're not distracted while you're trying to go back to your old habits, you've been told what you ought not to do, but you want to go back to your old habits. It's just like the choir wanting to go back to how they was before the workshop and the musical. That don't make no sense. I better not see that either. I'm using y'all as an example, but I better not see that. I ease up here one night in choir rehearsing, y'all standing up there like this here. And, oh, come, let us adore him. Let me come in here and find that. I'm going to cast the devil out, somebody. I'm going to start slanging all. I ain't going to put no, I'm going to slang it. Because ain't no reason for us to get distracted and go back. Because that's what all distraction does. Distraction will make you go back to where you was. And the enemy understands how to play games with our mind. So he'll come in and do some stuff to get you distracted. Well, Sister Mitchell ain't, oh, come, let us. She's not, you know, getting involved. So Sister Mitchell ain't getting involved. I ain't going to get involved. Then others start looking and say, well, Sister Jackson, she the president, and she not doing nothing. She just over there looking. I'm just going to look too. And for long, Castellina tripping. Misha going to tripping. Donnell going to tripping. Tank going to tripping. Jonathan going to tripping. After a while, everybody tripping. You cannot get distracted because it's contagious. Okay. I leave it alone. Just a little. Jesus had an encounter with the people of a particular city. You'll see it in the ninth chapter, fifth chapter of the book of St. Luke. And in this particular chapter, it begins to talk about Jesus he was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so what transpired was the people of the city had started coming out in droves. I'm talking about multiplicities of them, and they were pressing on him to receive a word. And so here Jesus is. He understands the dilemma of the people, and so he gets in one of the boats, one of the ones that's owned by Simon Peter, and he says, push out a little bit from the land. Let's just get a couple of yards out into the water, and I'm going to use your boat as a pulpit. And so he starts preaching to the people that are out there. And after he preaches to the people, he looks over to Brother Simon Peter. He said, what I need you to do now is cast your net for a draw. Now, I need you to drop your net because I need you to make I need you to make a load. I need you to get a load of fish out the water. Not only for me to, you know, verify who I am, but so somebody can eat. See, after the preached word, that's when comes the signs and the wonders. I think that's what Mark said. So after Jesus had preached and told them who he was and who he came to represent and what their rights was, he began to show them. So he told Peter, said, cast your net. Now check this out. Peter, sitting here under all this power, see all these crowds coming around, all these folks up on Jesus trying to get to him, trying to touch him, trying to get a word, want to get a prophecy, want to get a revelation. All these folks coming around, and here Peter is sitting there distracted. You can't tell me he wasn't distracted, because if he wasn't distracted, just looking at what was around him should have excited him about who was there. And here Peter is. Jesus said, now throw your nets over. Now, Lord, we've been out all night. And you got to understand something, Lord, this is my profession. That's what he's saying. That's the underlying message. I know what I'm doing. I'm a fisherman. You in my boat. These my nets. I know what I'm doing. We've been out all night. Now, he didn't even have to go there. And some of you don't have to go there either. When the Lord tell you to do something, why go there? Just do what he tell you to do. And you can say what you want to say. You know, I don't know why I'm going through all of this. The Lord know what you're going through. We just read it in the text and we're going back to it. He know what you're going through. He know what you're confronted with. He know what the enemy is trying to do. He knows that the enemy is trying to steal your joy. He knows the enemy is trying to come in and abort God's plan for your life. He understands that. But do you understand it? So here Peter is. He's out talking about, Lord, you got to understand something. I know what I'm doing. I'm a fisherman. And we've been out here all night and we ain't caught nothing. But to be respectful. But to show I ain't disobedient. But to go with the flow, you know. But just to prove to you I know what I'm talking about, I'm going to throw my net out. And that's how some of us is. Distracted. Tell you what you got to do. Go home. Now, it might not make no sense, but just obey. Tell you what to do. Go home. Get out on your knees in your prayer closet. Tell God about your situation. Get up off your knees in faith. Agree with God. And then go on. And in 3 days, you're going to have what you need. It might not make sense. Ain't nobody never told me nothing like that. That don't even make no sense. I didn't try that stuff anyway. I ain't right. Distracted. Just because somebody told you that before don't mean that the person telling you now ain't the one you need to listen to. Sometimes we get distracted by it. Say, I don't know why the Lord, because he loved you. That's why he got you going through that. That's some stuff that he need to get out of you. You need to understand that you can't do nothing of yourself. You need to understand who he is. He got you going through that because he's finally, you know, melting you and molding you. He's doing a work in your life. But we didn't got distracted with the stuff that's going on. We didn't got distracted by what somebody else up the street got. We didn't got distracted by how somebody else look. Distracted how somebody else does a thing. God ain't going to do everything the way somebody else does it. He might tell me tell you to come in here and bring some water with you. Amen. And everybody in here get a gallon of water. You go back home and drink it. Everybody might get healed. And the water you get in your fridge, everybody get healed. But that might be a one-time phenomenon. But we ain't got distracted because Bob over in Blue Creek, Arizona got a bottle of water and everybody going to get water there. You know, somebody over in Sabretooth, Georgia, you know, had a loaf of bread and they brought it back and the Lord healed somebody. So you're going to get a loaf of bread. You know, somebody in the church, when the church mother prayed over some all, you know, up in Arizona, wherever, California, Texas, Michigan, prayed over some all. And just because they prayed over the all, man, you're going to come back down here. Got distracted. It's not in the oil. It's not in the bread. It's not in the water. And so here Peter is. He just wants to give God a short dissertation. I got to tell you what's going on. And that's us. We didn't got distracted. We didn't forgot who we talking to. We didn't forgot who we serving. That's the only way you cannot, amen, do what he tell you to do. You done forgot who you serving. You done got distracted. Something that happened. Amen. Your emotions done got the best of you. Amen. Your circumstances done got the best of you. Amen. Some outside influences done got the best of you. And so because you're distracted, then you can't get what God got for you. He really can't be God. But I'm going to challenge you today, amen. I don't want you to get distracted, amen. I want you to keep your eyes on him, because if you keep your eyes on him, he can do what no other power can do. And so notice this situation right here. Jesus tells him, He said, now cast your nets out. Peter said, I'm going to cast a net out. And so he cast a net out. And the net he cast out, he almost lost what God had made provisions for him to have, because he didn't cast enough nets out. He cast one net out. And the Bible said, and the net almost broke, and he had to call some other folks. Now, just imagine if he'd have thrown out enough nets. And some of us are satisfied with a partial fulfillment of what God wants to do in our lives instead of the full manifestation. You know, we'll be satisfied with one net instead of nets. We'll be satisfied with a handful of folks instead of what God wants us to do. We'd be satisfied with just me, myself, and I being taken care of. And folks around you in your neighborhood, in your school where your children go to school at, in your community, amen, they got folks without. It breaks my heart when I'm riding down the road and I'm seeing mothers walking on the side of the road with their babies in their hand, standing up in that cold weather trying to catch a bus. It breaks my heart. I'm standing there looking, I'm saying, Jesus, we got to do something about this. Breaks my heart when I see young men and young women who had some situations in their life that pulled them off the beaten path, and society has written them off, kicked them to the curb, saying they don't want nothing. Yes, they do want something, but they don't have the tools necessary to get what we got, because they don't have what society really accepts, and so they're having to use alternative means to get it. Got families that are decimated. Amen. Families that just tore up, because they did not have any examples. How in the world a child that's raised in a family that's dysfunctional, in a family that really ain't got it going on, how in the world can that child come out whole except to have a relationship with God? And we have the unmitigated audacity not to want to share Christ with folks that we think don't fit the caliber, don't meet up to par with our standards. But I want you to know something. Little Jimmy with his pants hanging down on his backside, I mean on his hips, he needs Jesus just as bad as the one walking around in the three-piece Pierre Cardin suit. And because we've gotten distracted, we don't see that everybody needs Jesus. Not just a portion of the society or the community, everybody. Because we got distracted, we don't realize that everybody wants the great American dream to be a reality in their lives. And the way it's going to happen is you got to take some time out of your busy schedule and do what God has ordained you to do since you got saved. Because he didn't save you to get everything. He didn't save you to rest on your laurels. Do you think God gave you the talent that he gave you to sit on it? You think God gave you the money he gave you for you just to put it in a CD and let it grow into for you? God going to blow on it in the CD. He'll blow on it in the stock market. He'll cause the company that's handling your money to go bankrupt. He'll cause the people that you're working on the job to take the same money that you got in your 401k and invest it in a bad investment, and you ain't got no money and they ain't got none either. You don't believe me? Just go back and read a few things that happened to MCI, WorldCom, and some of these other companies. Took these folk retirement money and made bad investments with it, cooked the books, and then when they turned around, ain't nobody had no money but the ones that cashed their stuff in early and got out. Right. Folks been working 15, 20, 30, 40 years at this company, don't have no retirement, no medical insurance, no benefits at all. Kicked to the curb. Distracted. So Peter got distracted. He is, Lord, you got to understand something. Bless God. I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing. We're going to go on out here now. Lord, tell you give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Shall men give them to you? But he tell you give, and there you is, you holding out. I got to watch out for myself. No, you don't. Let's go back to the text. I'm finna come in. Close, I'm coming in. Sixth chapter, St. Matthew's. Look at verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Right now, don't get distracted. You cannot do one thing to help yourself. If God's not in the equation, you can't do one thing to help yourself. Don't get distracted. Give therefore, he said, I send you, take no thought for your life. You cannot preserve your life. You can eat all of the stuff that you're supposed to eat and still get cancer. You can live all kind of and still have your arteries get hard, your blood pressure go up. There's some genetic things that won't work. We got, most of us got grand folks and people in the family that ate more pork, ate more greasy food, and just as healthy as a horse. And well up in age, and still driving, still shopping for themselves, still talking about, child, I'm finna cook me some pork chops and red beans, and come on over here and get your bowl. I ain't cutting it short on nothing. Got good salt in it and everything else. Got some salt poke in it. Bless God. Come on, get pigtails, big old pot of skillet cornbread, and they still using that Crisco. Lord, just slap it in the cat, throw it in that pot. That shit, frying down, throw that cornmeal. Oh my God, look at it. Woo! And just as strong and robust, lay down and sleep all night. Don't even get up and go to the bathroom till in the morning. You ain't got to stay that way. Therefore, he said, take no thought for your life or what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? God is telling you, he said, now look, if you won't get distracted, he said, let me tell you what I'll do. He said, I'll make sure that you always have fine clothes to put on your backside. He said, if you won't get distracted, I will make sure that you always have food to eat. He said, if you won't get distracted, I'll make sure, amen, even though you go through some stuff, you're going to come out on top. Though he slay me, though he allow me to go through some changes, I'm going to trust him and serve him because I know my God reigns. Not the devil, not my problems, not my situations. I understand that all this stuff is seasonal and conditional. And it all got to bow down, amen, to the authority of my Father. And so he says right here, he said, don't worry about it. He said, don't even take no thought for this stuff. Don't even get out of second. He said, the most important thing that you need to do is stay focused on what I call you to do. And if you stay focused on what I call you to do, you ain't going to have a care in the world. He said, I will meet you at the point of your need. Now, you got to understand something. There are too many examples. That's too much of a legacy associated with Jesus for us to understand that he can't fail. There ain't nothing too hard for him. Amen. He can prevail in any situation. Amen. Look like it's all over with, but God, even the dead, I'm talking about graveyard dead, done wrapped them up, put them in the tomb, but all he got to do is say, where you laid him? Hallelujah. Where you laid him at? Take me to his tomb. That's all I need. Matter of fact, if you won't take him, I'll find it myself. Hallelujah. And he got there in front of the tomb, and he said, he didn't even ask nobody to loose him before he told him to get up. Lazarus. And I heard the old Baptist preacher said, Lazarus sitting down. Now, I don't know if this is true or not. He might have got a revelation. I don't know if this is true or not. But I heard the old Baptist preacher say he was sitting down talking to John. And nothing say he's talking to Peter, and they're having a good conversation. And then he said, hush. Hush. Somebody calling my name. And said, Lazarus said, hold up just a little while. Hold that thought, Peter. Hold that thought, John. I got to go see what my master wants. And he said, all of a sudden, he had to vacate heaven and come back to earth. I'm talking about he can be graveyard dead. Amen. But the God we serve, hey, glory, wherever you might be, broke, kicked to the curb, don't stay in the shelter. But I want you to know something. The God we serve can turn it all around. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. So he said, don't take no thought. So I want you to know life is more than having on a three-piece Pierre Cardin suit and some Stacey Adams lizards. Gator belt on. Amen. Gucci watch. Amen. It's more than that. More than having a house on the hill, eating fine delectables every day. Delicacies, amen, Amen. Every day. It's more than that. Amen. It's more than having a relationship with people and having a position in society. He said it's more than that. Amen. And there are too many people in the church that got distracted. If I can just get with the Full Gospel Association, if I can just get with the Church of God in Christ, if I can just get with the independent movement, if I can just get, no, you don't need to get with none of that. What you need to get with is Jesus. And if you'll get with Jesus, I guarantee you, God will turn the whole thing around. Don't get distracted. Don't get caught up in associations and affiliations. It's all about him and not about us. I could care less if I'm a superintendent, if I'm an elder, or whatever. All I need to know is that God called me. And if I walk in my calling, I'm going to tell you, ain't no good thing that God will withhold from me. As a matter of fact, I felt better on the street corners anyhow. Because nobody knew who I was. They wasn't faking and fronting. It's Superintendent Richardson right here. Bless God. And soon as I walk off, talking about, I don't know about him. On the street corner, every man out there on the street, they just I say, what you see is what you get. Come to Jesus. All right, come on. I got to get back my text. He said, now, if that's not enough for you, he said, now, behold the father there. Just take a little stroll outside. And look at these little pretty creatures that's flying around. Amen. And they're just sitting in the trees just singing. And all of a sudden you see them just swoop down on the ground. Amen. And turn over a couple of little leaves and got something and fly on back up and start singing all over again. Just sitting on the wires. Amen. Out there just strung up all the way across. About 15 or 20 of them sitting on the wires. And they're just kind of shaking on the wires. You know, like they ain't got in their groove. You know, out there just tweet, 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 dee dee tweet. Can't get it. And then see.